Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Okay. On.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Back in the rugby dungeon once again after round three of the Premiership and the...
Round four.
And the... Ultimate Rugby Champion... Whatever.
United.
United Rugby Championship. And loads of other rugby stories going on in the week when there's never not some sort of controversy or argument or rift. So we've got that to go through, standard. Thank you very much for listening. If you haven't already subscribed, please do. And you can leave a comment. That's one way you can help. If you enjoy the podcast as well, and we are here 52 weeks of the year, you can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/eggchasers. Thanks to the new sign-ups, you will be...
Getting your own podcast.
You will be gifted with your... well, hopefully two extra podcasts. Technical...
Glitch.
Technical glitch means you get two in one go. You'll
Acast
get
and Patreon can't get their stuff together.
Yeah. It's like Apple and Sony.
Yeah.
It's just we'll get them... We'll mediate and get them working well together. And then, you'll get your extra podcast there. But patreon.com/eggchasers. Phil, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
Very good. You're looking very smart today.
Very smart.
Just
threw it on, did you?
Well, do you know what? I've been going through clothes lately and I've started not wearing... I think I've got to an age in my life where I'm only wearing sort of sporty gear when I'm doing sporty activities.
Mm.
And I'm almost like dressing properly more of the time now. Yeah.
So I've gone the other way. I have two looks. This is one of them, which is basically shorts and t-shirt. I say 90% of my time is in this, and then the other 10% I wear a jacket. That's literally it.
I think it might just be that I'm missing wearing actual clothes, like proper smart clothes a lot of the time, so I'm just doing it a bit more.
Yeah. Now, we all commented, Sid, before the podcast on your new boots. They're very, very smart.
Mm.
No one paid any attention to my new nanos, though.
Nice.
What are nanos?
Nanos? Oh, they're this CrossFit brand. Yeah. They're used for jumping on boxes and whatnot.
We need to get the bell back so we can...
I've got it somewhere.
I know it's somewhere.
But yeah, I've seen it recently.
Yeah, cool. Now, Phil, I before you arrived, I was just having a little chat with JB's wife, Layla, who... she gave me a little tip-off of something we should ask JB. Rugby-related.
Oh,
Well, the first question was, did you play a game this weekend, JB?
I did play a game this weekend. I did play a game. I played on one of the best fields I have ever, ever played on. It was incredible.
It's an amazing ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which ground?
Huddersfield.
Oh, wow. How did you end up in Huddersfield? I assume you were in North Wales.
No, I was in a farmhouse with Phil.
A stag do thing.
No, it was couples.
Couples weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Like, about eight or nine different couples. And
they no, more.
With kids? With babies?
God, no.
There was 16,
we're
or
not psychopaths.
16 or 17 couples.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they were all doing that.
Wonderful.
And then in the morning, they're like, oh, should we go for a walk? One thing I can't bear is walking. And the one thing I can't bear even more than walking is walking in large groups. So I'm looking out the window. I can see them milling around the car park area. But you know when, like, nothing's happening, everyone's waiting for someone else to take the lead and they're waiting for someone else to come back in. And when they do go for this walk, you know, it's going to be at the slowest pace of the slowest individual. And I thought, no, I'm going to get on my phone, go on the RFU club finder, see what clubs are around, phone them up, and then play. So I phoned up one club who didn't have a game, and the next nearest club was Huddersfield. So I phoned them up and said, do you have any lower league lower level teams playing. Their A team was out, so they've got no kit. And by the way, fair play to them for letting me play. Because when the phone goes, if I got a phone call saying, "Yeah, I'm a 37-year-old on holiday, I can play wing or prop," I go, "No, sorry, mate, we're full, we're absolutely full, absolutely full." So I got a start at 12, and it was delightful. Great, great bunch of boys.
That's what rugby's all about.
Right? Can I tell you another story game?
The other question I got told by Layla to ask is, ask JB what the referee said to him.
Oh, yes, I forgot that, yeah, so.
I
don't want to talk about
you've
it.
You've told Leela to ask Tim to plant the seed so you can talk about this.
I don't want to talk about it. I'll tell you about that in a sec, right?
Okay.
So this is amazing, right? This is one of the reasons I love playing rugby so much. So I play for this A team, and against us we're playing the Halifax Vandals. Now, Halifax used to be a great club. Mm. Sure, they still are a great club. You know, actually, the fabric of the place. But they're not the team that they once were. So they've come down...
Isn't that George Ford part of the world, Halifax?
No. It is. He went to school in Rishworth, didn't he? So that's...
he's from more Bolton, isn't he?
It's down in the road.
Oldham.
Yeah,
sorry.
Oldham. Anyway. Yeah. Rishworth is like just outside of Huddersfield.
Brian Moore was Halifax, wasn't he, originally?
He might have been. Charlie Hodgson would have been.
I thought Charlie Hodgson was somewhere else, not Halifax. I could be wrong.
I don't know where he plays rugby, but he's definitely from Halifax.
Okay.
So, I'm playing Halifax. And on the wing, I've got to be careful how I say this because, well, no, I'm just going to say it. On the wing, there was a guy and he looked about 12 years old. And I don't mean, you know, I'm not saying that's a joke. He literally looked about 12 years old. And I'm thinking, this isn't safe. So he goes into one contact. He gets absolutely wiped out. I'm like, this is, whoever this lad is, he's not old enough to play. This shouldn't be going ahead. So afterwards, I spoke to their team. And I was like, well, tell me about your winger. What's his story? Expecting him to say, yeah, it's the son of one of the lads or some such thing. Turns out he's just got a condition where he's just not developed. So he's about 22 years old and he's still playing. And I thought, that is absolutely amazing.
Incredible. That's courage.
That is unbelievable courage.
Fair play to lad.
I was like, okay. So he's got as much right to want to write himself off and enjoy this game as I have. But I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And that's why it's an awesome game. So if anyone's got that excuse, like, I don't know, maybe, you know, you're too busy doing your blog and therefore you say you can't play. It isn't an excuse. If you love the game, anyone can play it. Anyone can play it.
Fantastic.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Now, what did the referee say
to you? What did the ref say to you?
I don't want to talk about it. It's kind of embarrassing. I made a tackle. You know, I didn't think there was anything special at the time. And the ref pulled me aside and went, not at this level, mate. Tackle too hard.
You put in a big hit.
Tackle too hard.
I thought you were going to say, because I've had this before, when I played a game, I had the ref with a little wink go, let the boys play.
Nice. Now here's another bit of trivia for you. I didn't have any boots, didn't have any kit, so I showed up. Huddersfield looked after me brilliantly. I wore the boots of a current England international, but who? Mm. You've got three guesses.
So it was some boots that were donated to the club, I'm guessing.
Nope.
By someone. No?
Nope. Someone handed me these boots.
Current England international, did you say?
They played, yeah. They played today.
Oh, they played today. Okay. All right. I will go with Ali Crossdale.
Incorrect.
No, he's not England international.
He's been in one of the shadow squad or one of the squads in and around the squad.
Gabriel Ogre.
Ooh, incorrect. I'm going to tell you right now, Tim, you're not going to get it.
Okay,
so I'm not going to continue. Her name is Bridget Parry, who played today for, I think, England under-18s.
With size what feet?
I had to squeeze into these boots, but it didn't really matter. So squeezed in into boots, ended up breaking them because obviously my feet were too big. I thought, hey, I've not worn England international boots before.
Wow.
So there you go, another first.
I do love that a rugby club did that. It's so you to pick up the phone and go and ask. And I hate walking that much to go and find a rugby game.
To be honest, the walk was just the excuse. I would have done it anyway. I'd have found a different excuse.
Do you regret not going yourself, Phil?
No, I was quite happy. I played played softball for a couple of hours on the lawn of the farmhouse.
Not for me, thank you.
That was good fun.
Yeah.
I've seen you in the batting cages in Japan, in Tokyo, so maybe it was best you sat that one out.
Yep. So, yep, that was my rugby this weekend.
Wonderful. Right, so Eddie Jones, I don't know what day it is this week, but he's going to name his England squad. In fact, I think all the international squads for the Autumn Internationals will get named. Question is, should he, will he, would you make significant changes from his training squad, and would you bring back in some of the guys that he left out, like Jamie George, Billy Vunipola, Mako Vunipola, George Ford, Elliot Daly? Which of those, if any, would you bring back in, and anyone else that you think should or could or will be included?
That's such a difficult question, because once you've sort of let the cat out of the bag, let the genie out of the bottle, or whatever the other phrase may be, it's very hard to sort of get it back, back in. Just looking at this weekend and looking across the first four rounds of Premiership games, he's got Marcus Smith in there. He's not got George Ford in there. It used to be the case you've got to drop someone to bring someone in. Now it's the case he's got to drop Marcus Smith to bring in George Ford. I don't think even Eddie would be brave enough.
I think he'll have them both in the squad.
I think they both might be, but I think one thing that we will see is I think the first autumn squad that got announced 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, that was 45 men. He normally has between about 30 and 35. So I think there'll be quite a few. And all three of the front row positions, he was stacked four deep in all three positions. So like you had Trevor Davidson, Joe Hayes, Will Stewart and Kyle Sinclair in the tight end position. You're probably only going to see three of them. You're probably only going to see three hookers and you're probably only going to see three loose heads. So there'll be guys cut from the squad that won't make an enormous amount of difference.
Yeah.
Whether someone like Mako, who obviously, Mako and Jamie George, British and Irish Lions in the summer, huge number of England caps, an enormous amount of experience. Do they get back in? I don't know. I am not certain.
No, I'm not. I think it's difficult.
Did you do this on the last World Cup cycle? Was it? I've got a feeling in my mind that this was the one, two autumns out from the World Cup that did his turnover of players. This is where Haskell was in the summer, but gone in the autumn.
Yeah.
And who was the other one?
Dylan Hartley went out, Rob Shaw went out.
That's the one.
I mean, Dylan Hartley and Haskell, to be fair, are almost certainly more injury.
Yeah, I think both of those were.
But he evolved his back row. There were certain areas on the field where he changed his back row. And I think we're looking at, well, I mean, what areas of the pitch do you think, if he was going to try to turn it over and identify and change, what do you reckon it'll be? Because 10 is clearly one.
Well, I don't think we know. And I tell you why. I don't think we know because we don't know what Gleeson has planned. And then you can't really say, well, if Gleeson wants... Because I don't even know what Gleeson thinks about rugby. I can extrapolate from watching Wasps.
Do you think it'll be that Gleeson decides and Eddie Jones says, OK, I'll pick you some players to do that? Or do you think Eddie Jones says, I want to do this, make it happen?
I've got no idea, Gleeson. And I'd love to know.
I think it's probably more of the latter, but not entirely. Mm. I think it'd be more of Eddie Jones setting the blueprint, Gleeson... deliver on this map, deliver on this plan.
Yeah, I don't know. But I guess if you look at Wasps, you can have an idea of what he might want to do. And then you look at Eddie Jones, and they're two very different plans, aren't they? So I honestly have no idea, which is not a great bit of analysis.
So one thing I'm looking forward to is the battle for fullback. Because
good shout.
Cause obviously we've had Elliot Daly in the past with mixed success, I would say. I think he's a class player. Whether fullback's his best position, I'm not sure. Anthony Watson's been there, but again, I'm certain his best position is not fullback. You had George Furbank, who's back in the squad playing well, but after a period of not playing particularly well. Freddie Stewart looks great. And Max Malins is such a good, accomplished runner.
The non-try. Oh my goodness. That was filthy.
Some of his running, he seems to be going slowly, and he's just accelerating away from. He's got this like lolloping stride to him that makes him look like he's effortlessly running and actually not very quick. But he's just beating people.
He's exceptional.
He's exceptional. Awesome.
Yeah,
so that's going to be really interesting battles to see who gets that starting 15 shirt.
Yeah, I think it should be Stewart. I think occasionally there's one player who just stands out above everyone else. It doesn't matter what style you're going to be playing. You want that player because he's so good. I do think Stewart is probably getting...
He has got that quality where you could imagine him in another year's time, or come the next World Cup, going, first name you write down on a team sheet.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then it lets you play Daly and Watson on the wings, and they're ace. I mean, they've gone from some okay at the back three positioning to absolutely brilliant, because you've got two wings with lots of fullback experience plus a great fullback.
And Johnny May should still be in the conversation.
Yeah.
Well, he was one of the other ones that was out of the squad.
And I think that...
No, he was in. Yeah, back in the squad. I think he was out over the summer.
That's right.
But he came back in the autumn squad.
He was out over the summer without the Lions in?
Yeah, like George Ford was as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, interesting.
They rested a few of their senior guys.
The other one is the other position, which will be very interesting. I think I agree with you. Fullbacks, one to watch. 10, I think we're going to see the natural turnover.
Yeah.
And
9.
Number 8.
Oh, what about 9?
8 and 9, I think, are very interesting. Because 9, Ben Youngs was in the squad. I'm not sure if I'd have Ben Youngs. I mean, Randall is electric. Raffy is electric. And Dan Robson is playing some lovely rugby.
So a few thoughts on those guys. I think Randall's stock has fallen dramatically few weeks in Bristol.
He was brilliant for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, but you think about the Bath game and his box kicking and whatnot, and you just think, Eddie's not going to pick him. He's just not going to pick him because he hates those sort of unforced errors. Ben Youngs gives him what he wants in terms of box kicking. Raffy is, I think, the next guy who will go to England. And I think the book is written on Rob Shaw, and it's been closed.
Robson. I mean, he's had plenty of opportunities to use Robson and never has.
Doesn't like him.
Doesn't seem to like him. I don't think Robson gets the credit for his all-round game.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I think he's class.
We were saying just before you were right, Phil, that he just doesn't... One of the reasons probably doesn't get enough credit is because English teams aren't very nine-centric. If he's a French nine, he'd be right up there.
Or a Northern Irish nine.
Indeed. Northern Irish, yes, quite.
With, obviously, Pienaar setting the mould, Cooney, and then Nathan Doak. I don't know if you've seen any of him recently.
Not heard of him.
Looking good. Scored 2 tries this weekend against your beloved Benetton.
Did we win?
No.
Oh. Good. I'm glad I missed it.
Bonus point win for Ulster.
Heartbreak.
And number 8, Billy Vunipola was out of the squad, but has been playing really well for Saracens.
Billy's back.
Obviously taken the message.
Yeah.
But Alex Donbrand's just out of this world good, and Sam Simmons is Sam Simmons.
Yeah.
At least you've got 3 very different options there.
They are.
And there's things to be said for that.
So which option would you pick at international level?
I'd like, if it could be possible, to combine all 3, because that's kind of what you'd like to do, isn't it? Because they all do...
We'll have 6, 7 and 8.
It's kind of like the old Harlequins hooker problem. Like, we've all got the constituents of one great hooker, but they're across 3 players. Probably, and it's a bit of a retrograde decision, I would go with Billy, tried and tested. But Don Brandt's making one hell of a case for himself. The question is about Don Brandt. Does he just pick moments... Whereas, Billy will go out there and make something happen. I don't think Don Brandt does that yet.
The other question, so I probably would pick Don Brandt, certainly based on the squad that we had. I would start Don Brandt at 8, the 45-man squad from a few weeks ago. I'd start Don Brandt at 8. I'd actually be very tempted to be playing, or at least have on the bench, Sam Simmons, because of his explosivity. And he does offer something different.
Weirdly, I'd say Don Brandt and Sam Simmons are more similar to each other than Don Brandt and Billy.
Yes, albeit Don Brandt and Billy physically are more similar.
Yeah. Don Brandt's a big man who plays like a small man. Yeah.
Your flankers are likely to be Courtney Laws and Tom Curry.
Beasts.
Yeah.
Absolute beasts. Monsters. Work rate.
Or Underhill.
They can ball carry.
Because Underhill...
Underhill is going to be there or thereabouts.
Bad team. He has been...
He's been great as well.
I wouldn't bring Underhill in,
So you could have...
He does so much work rate.
The reason why... Yeah, well, that's kind of the reason. I just think international... goes harder and harder and harder than breaks.
I guess my point is, so you go Underhill and Curry, or Curry and Underhill, or Laws and Curry, or Laws and Underhill, whatever combination of those two you have on your flanks out of those 3 players, there's work rate. There is so much work rate. And I think that's actually how you unleash Alex Donbrandt, because then he does have that licence to just... use that natural ability that he's got to read a game and arrive at the right place at the right time. And he's got a knack of doing that, which is, you can't coach that.
So just some back rows that we've not mentioned who were in the 45-man squad.
Ludlam.
and Ludlam.
Yeah.
Ludlow and Ludlam.
Ludlam is Northampton.
Get rid of them both because they're just confusing.
Yeah, too confusing. And I think they're not quite at the level of some of the other guys we've spoken about. Then two guys that I really like that will, in 2 or 3 years, be two or three years' time, be pushing for a start in the sixth jersey, which is Ted Hill and George Martin.
Yes.
Who are both big boys. They can do that. Like 5.5, 6 role because they're so big.
Martin strikes me as the natural heir for Courtney Laws.
Yeah. I think either one of those two, Ted Hill or George Martin, could do that. The other two that were not mentioned, Callum Chick was in the squad.
Mm. Okay.
And Jack Kenningham was in the squad.
Oh, he is interesting.
He is an interesting character. Yeah.
So they've
got a few options. Yeah. I look at that and I'd say Martin, Hill, Kenningham. In 2-3 years' time, they will be really pushing.
It's the same problem again, isn't it? You've got these three excellent back rows, and not one. I mean, if one of them was an out-and-out eight, you'd be laughing.
In some respects, this sounds ridiculous, but in some respects, has Eddie Jones got an incredibly hard job? Because there's so little to choose between them. You could have such different chemistry between any combination of three out of all of those names. If you are Wayne Pivac, it's so easy to pick your team.
Well, except for the back row. Back row might be the only place.
Actually, back row is the only place it's like that.
Yeah, it's so easy, and they have to play together.
If you're Gregor Townsend and you have three of those guys, you're like, brilliant, I've got my back row sorted. Great.
Exactly.
Next job.
That's a good point. And then they can play together, get to know each other, then they form the chemistry, and before you know it, you've got one hell of a team.
One other interesting position will be 12, because obviously... I think Marcus Smith is going to be the starting 10.
Yep.
Faz is the captain. So that means that Faz is going to be playing from 12. And then behind him, you've got Tuilagi, you've got Mark Atkinson, Slade and Marchant, who are both in good form. How do you...
Why is Mark Atkinson there? That'd be my...
I think Mark Atkinson might be there because they've looked at Marcus Smith and gone, he's had... Andre Esterhazen outside him, and he's been incredible with Andre Esterhazen. Who's the most like Andre Esterhazen we've got?
Ooh.
Mark Atkinson.
Do you think?
Potentially.
Well, he's a big boy.
Good hands, big boy.
I think, the guy's 31. He plays in a certain way. And you don't bring a 31-year-old who does the things that Mark Atkinson does without a plan to play him. That'd be my thought. Because, if he'd been there for the last 2 years, say, he might be one of the guys who you'd be turning over. So there must be a reason that they've brought him in, which is why I'm quite intrigued by what they do with him next. I hope they don't let him go, because the extra creativity that he gives for Marcus Smith, that's the most creative midfield England have had for, well, probably since Wilkerson and Cat.
Maybe I'll tie this. I'll tie this into the conversation. Yeah. I'll say almost at the same time. I'll just say that Manu Tuilagi is so good. But also is so unreliable that actually it will be such an easier job for an England coach when Manu Tuilagi is no longer an option.
Yeah. Turn the page on him, I'd say.
It is, but it's a very hard thing to do. Mm. Leicester should have done it for years, and it took the reduction of salary cap for them to get rid of him.
Like, yeah.
That was the only way they could.
And look at them now.
It. Yeah, they're flying.
Absolutely flying.
Yeah,
Dan Kelly from Leicester is a guy who I think has been unlucky not to get in the squad, the wider training squad.
He had a bit of time in the summer, didn't he?
Yeah, but 12 will be interesting.
Yeah, few interesting choices there. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the Autumn Internationals.
Yeah,
I'm not
very much.
You just like the Premiership.
I just want the Premiership. the Premiership at the moment is so good. I want it mainlined into my veins. It is so good.
Has Dwayne Vermaelen played for Ulster yet?
No, because he's with South Africa.
Oh, he's still with South Africa.
Why is he still there?
Well, they'll be travelling.
And they'll
back
have to do a
they?
2 weeks in Jersey or.
Because they're going into the Autumn Internationals.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So some guys have been released.
So Leicester Tigers were saying the other day that potentially they see their South Africans for one game. One game. So depending on, if they need to rest them when they get back and whatnot. So they've made the decision. They're not going to rest them. Van Staden went straight on the bench this weekend, which is exactly the right thing to do. This is a nonsense. I know the pandemic messed a lot of things up. I just don't think teams can continue. And actually, they shouldn't continue losing players so much. The Premiership is such a great competition. And it's going on. It's been going on for 3 weeks now. 4 weeks.
4 weeks, yeah.
And it almost feels like it's a sort of sideshow that no one really talks about whilst we're gearing up for the next round of internationals. It should be the main event. It is. I would say some of the games that we watched this week, yeah, they're not the standard of international, but the excitement and the matchups are easily the equal of the internationals.
But this is just one of, and it's a problem that no one has found a solution to in the unifying the global calendar so that you do miss fewer players. But no one's found a solution because no one's willing to compromise. Like the Premiership clubs and all of the other domestic clubs are not going to want to reduce the number of games they have because that directly impacts their revenue. And the unions are not going to want to reduce the number of games they have because selling out Twickenham brings in millions of pounds of revenue. Like there's still no solution. And this week there was talk of, well, potentially an even more complicated scenario with the Bill Beaumont mentioned from 2024 introducing the World Club Championship. I don't think it's got a full name.
Yeah. It's just another thing which I've invented.
And if you haven't heard about that, the brief explanation of the World Club Championship is that once every 4 years from 2024, every year after the World Cup, the Heineken Cup, as it is now, the European Club Cup, will get to the quarterfinal stage and then will suddenly change to be the World Club Cup.
Yes.
And there will be no winner crowned for the European Cup every 4 years. And instead, the top eight from the Northern Hemisphere from Europe will go ahead against the top eight from the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, now that top eight from Europe would also include South Africa because they're eligible from 2023.
Oh my God.
So then they'll be playing against, I assume, and I've not seen this written down anywhere, they will then be playing against.
Give me the 20-year plan, right? Give me the 20-year plan. And if it's like, if this is consistent for 20 years, I mean. But if it's like a one-year thing, we know what happens to competitions when you mess around with the formats. We know, we've seen it, and basically it kills everything. So the European Cup is phenomenally successful. Mm-hmm. Well, it was in its old format. I'm not too sure about the new format, but fine.
It's still a great competition.
Yeah.
The Heineken Cup.
Heineken Cup works.
Yeah.
Premiership works. UFC... I mean, I think it can work. I really think it can work, but it needs to be consistent. And the problem is, it's been the Magnus League, the Celtic League, the Pro 14, the Rabo Pro Direct 18, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
The Rainbow Cup. It's been one league. It's been two conferences. It's now two conferences plus some South Africans, and it goes on and on and on and on. Nobody knows what they're watching. It's incompetence to just carry on changing things. The Premiership's easy because it's one table. You can look at the respective teams before they play and you can get a good idea of where they are comparatively.
And
you've got
100 years of rivalry in a lot of cases.
Yeah, you have no idea what you're watching in the UFC. Some franchise facing another franchise. One might be good, one might not be.
Yeah, so I'm with you on a lot of that. I think if you can get it right, if you can get the format right, the timings right, I think it could be pretty exciting. To do it every four years.
Absolutely.
It could be great.
The principle is fantastic.
Imagine Toulouse going against Crusaders.
Yeah, Toulouse would batter them.
That would be
amazing. What's weird, though, is you go European... Let's look down the years of the... In 30 years' time, you go, let's look back at the winners of the European Cup.
Yeah.
And there's holes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Every 4 years.
Yeah. Well, why did we dismantle this amazing competition?
I mean, doesn't it devalue
the
Heineken Cup other years? You've got an amazing competition, and then you're messing about with something amazing. You said, what's the 20-year plan? And you were saying that as in terms of
consistency.
Do something for consistency.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I would actually come at that from another point of view. What's the 20-year plan? Is like, what's your overall objective? Because I don't think anyone is actually working to. There's no CEO going, that's our end point. This is where we're getting to. So let's work back from there.
I always think that the end point is the Premiership. I mean, I really think that. Like, I look at the Premier League of football, and it's a brilliant thing. It's a brilliant league.
Yeah, but you could be in charge of the Premiership, and you could go, our end game is global TV rights.
Global domination.
Global domination.
Yeah.
Teams in China, India, whatever. I'm not saying that could happen in 20 years.
Oh, sorry, TV rights in those countries.
TV rights, or getting... and then from World Rugby's point of view, it could be having significant local club...
Yeah.
Systems, infrastructure in those areas. Point being, is if that's your end point, then you work back from there. I actually think all they're doing is rearranging deck chairs. No, it's not Titanic going down, but they're tinkering with stuff.
Oh, yeah,
for the sake of tinkering.
I mean,
with
there are some worrying things going on.
To try and turn a short-term profit.
Well, I mean, there are some worrying things going on in rugby at the moment. More lower down the leagues. But I just think, and I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, just look at the matches this week. I think the product is fine. The people's ability to sell it is not fine. And that's what they've got. That's what they've got to work. And I can't understand how you can't sell that. I cannot understand how you cannot sell that product. It is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's to do with there's bigger, wider things going on but the attendances are down currently.
Yeah, but I mean, look at Friday night's game.
Yeah, it was great.
Friday night's game was absolutely mega.
It was ridiculous, and it's more ridiculous because that's the second time that we've seen this exact game.
Yeah.
And it was...
They knew
coming. It's like a once-in-a-lifetime game that's happened twice in the last 6 months. Incredible.
Yeah. Bristol gets 21 points. Go, right, boys, let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
Again? Did you not learn? What? It's incredible.
And what happened with Bristol? Because Pat Lamb said afterwards, we were great, and then we started kicking.
He is done. He is absolutely... I said this as soon as he signed that contract... Seven more years of this that they've got now. 7 more years. What gets me about Pat Lamb the most is when he tries to do the detached, impartial, philosophical rugby supporter routine. So what happened today, Pat? Well, yeah, it's just great. Two teams wanting to go out there and play rugby. No, tell me what went wrong. But he does this whole philosophy thing, and it's nonsense.
To be fair, I would probably want to... I would not be wanting to answer the question if I was in Pat Lamb's shoes. I wouldn't talk about anything else other than his team imploding in that manner for the second time.
He knows he does not have the answer.
For the second time in 5 games.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, he knows the answer, and he knows the answer is not him.
And the only game they've won this season is against Bath, who are bottom of the league.
Yeah. So, as I understand it, over in Bristol at the moment, it's not particularly good atmosphere. The days are getting longer and longer. The more they lose, the more they analyse. I'm watching, apparently, the whole game as a squad, analysing it, which isn't really what Premiership teams do. They usually cut it up and you do it in little sections. And I think there's pressure builds, they get more intense, they work hard. It's like a compounding thing. Mm. There was some... it's a compounding thing.
I was so certain... I was sure that after that semi-final loss in the way that they lost, that they were going to correct themselves, that they were going to trust the process. They're on the right journey. They've got the right processes.
They won their European trophy, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Finished
top of the regular season. I thought, they are going to regress to their mean, and their mean is very, very good. Unfortunately, it looks like they're regressing to their mean, and their mean is not so good.
Well,
maybe this is where they are now.
Okay, so they are a good team, and they do some really nice things. That said, how much video is there of them now? We all know what their patterns are. Pat Lamb has a thing that he does, but he needs a thing plus something
more
else.
More things.
Like, he needs to have a bit more Leicester Tigers game in them too. One of the things he said last season is that, I know the team's doing well, not because we attack and we score, but because the defence catches up with us. Their defence at the moment is absolutely garbage.
That would be the most worrying thing.
They have one of the best defences in the Premiership last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that would be the most worrying thing from this game, was just how easily Quins were finding the outside corners and just finding acres of space and no one tracking across from Bristol.
Now, listen, I don't know if it's a psychological group dynamic thing, but... We know from playing in rugby teams at whatever level, when there is a little chink in the collective group and the unity, that is exposed in defence.
Defence is the first place that goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time it's the first place that goes. And towards the end of that game, they'd given up. And that's what
Will Collier try.
Yeah.
That Will Collier try.
I mean, you don't want to take it away from Will Collier because he's a Titan.
World class.
Show and go wheels.
But that should never, ever happen.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that's embarrassing. I mean, these are paid professionals, and there's obviously something psychologically wrong there. And I hate talking about psychology because I think most of it's nonsense. But there is something going on there.
They need to get on the beers.
They do. And with Semi's gone, right? So he's out for 4 months, allegedly. By the way, I've heard that they're going to sign Geordie Barrett as short-term replacement.
Mm.
So there's something for you.
What?
Yeah. So watch this space.
That would be a very handy signing.
Whoa.
That doesn't really fix your problem, does it? So if your team is based around match winners and you need to have your match winners on, apparently their win rate with Semir Adrada is ridiculous. It goes that goes down 20% when he's not there.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And also, how must that squad be? What were the dynamics in that squad? There's 9 guys on mega money, say, and everyone else is on
peanuts.
Yeah, 25 grand or something.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just count up the supposed numbers, and then you take away the two highest numbers, because they'd be the grandfathered in marquee players, you've still got some mega earners in there. So what the rest of those boys been paid?
And is that the cause of the unrest?
I wouldn't be happy with it.
Dissatisfaction?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but no. I just wouldn't be happy with it. You know, I'm sure, you know, look at the front row this week. Front row is obviously a team endeavour. One of them is probably paid more than a half times more than the other two combined.
I think it could be quite a simple solution. It's just that they've come in undercooked because they decided not to have any warm-up games. It could be quite feasible that they've come in undercooked. And then when you lose and then you don't play well, it's hard to correct when the games come week after week after week. If there's one team that needed a bye week... It'd be Bristol.
Completely agree with that. Now, the game itself. Yeah. Did you enjoy Mahler chatting to Sinclair? I loved it. Poking him in the chest. Because ultimately, Sinclair left Quinns to go and win the title with Bristol. That was nailed on, right? There's no two ways about it. He was going to win the title. And for Quinns to win it, as well, must be a bit of a reality check there.
Yeah. Massively.
And then to get battered by them twice.
To get battered and in the scrum. Marlowe's scrummaging is so good.
Yeah.
He is so good.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Breakdown, set piece, defence. And then you can attack like Harlequins because their scrum is very good. Kerrod had one little wobble right at the start. I think, who was it? Was it Woolmore that started on the other side? Jan Thomas had a good first scrum, and then after that, it was pretty much it. It's downhill from there.
Yeah, but so obviously we've spoken about Bristol mostly negative, apart from they finished those three tries early, were great. They looked good. Randall looked good. And then they just imploded. But Quinns started badly, and then it's like when Marcus Smith came onto the pitch.
It was awesome.
It was just like flipping a switch.
Yeah.
It was just they had time, they had space. The decision making was immaculate. They were finding so much room on that corner of like outside 13 of the Bristol defence. They were just finding acres of space with two passes, one pass, crossfield kick. Esther Hazen through the middle and then off. Like, it just didn't. Everything they tried worked out brilliantly, and they left a few tries out there as well.
Incredibly,
they could have scored 60 or 70 points.
Not just how Marcus Smith played, but the actual process of bringing Marcus Smith on the field was pretty cool, because it was like watching some rock star warm up, and then the crowd go absolutely wild. It was like a WWE entrance.
Yeah,
they got some class players.
Yeah,
I'm still not convinced by them, though. Like, even though they just smashed Bristol and they've won 3 out of 4, maybe 4 out of 4.
Did they not have a bye week, and so they've won 3 out of 3?
They've won 3 out of 3.
Have they?
Yeah,
right.
So okay. It's Leicester 4 out of 4 and Quinns 3 out of 3.
I think they'll lose this weekend, though.
Or unbeaten. Who have they got this weekend?
Sale on Friday night at the AJ Bell. I think Sale will...
With McGinty and the Currys back.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be
that will make a difference.
Proposition which they're going to find hard to overcome. However, yeah, they would, you know, the solidness of that team all comes from their forwards, I think. And then Marcus Smith can weave his magic.
And that's what gives me confidence that they're not going to be flaky. This is the real deal because their set piece is so good. Their scrum is awesome.
Yeah, it's really
and there was talk was whether Scott Baldwin going, obviously he was certainly in the scrummaging, he's an international hooker, whether he tied things together, and it seems like it's not him leaving is not really causing any issues at the moment, because their set piece is great.
Where I think it's difficult for them, and where it's hard to really judge them, is what do they look like when they have to go deeper into the squad. So we've seen Tommaso Allan. He's looked pretty good so far. He's won them two games.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen a few. We saw last year when Will Evans went down that Kenningham came in and he was great.
Great.
But teams have to deal with a lot more than that. And it's when those injuries and those unavailabilities start hitting them, what they're going to do then. And I think that's their biggest problem. We're not going to know until midway through the season. But their first 15, of course, is excellent. But so is everyone's.
Yeah, yeah. And whether they've got a proper replacement for Esterhazen.
I don't think you can replace him.
Because you've got, what's the name, Paul Lasica, who's not really played.
Northmore. Yeah.
No, but Northmore's not like for like, is he?
No, not
he's
like at all.
13 or wing, really.
I agree with Esterhazen being so unique that I don't think there's anyone that could replace him. I mean, there's some people, I mean, like Manu could carry the ball, but he probably can't pass as well as Esterhazen, or he can't kick, or certainly can't kick as well as Esterhazen.
Yeah.
Esterhazen's got an absolute cannon.
You could, someone like Diolande or Laumepe.
Yeah, these guys are rare.
But they are, yeah, you're talking about like four or five guys on the planet who are close to replacing Esterhazen.
Some might argue it would be overkill to have Laumepe sitting on your bench just in case.
Backing up.
Just in case Esterhazen goes down.
And just to point out,
Laumepe would.
Just to point out, South Africa don't need him.
No, they
I
don't.
Know. That is ridiculous.
I bet they'll reconsider that though.
I think they will do.
Diolande went down. I'm sure that he'd be getting a knock on his door.
Yeah. Well, Diolande and Lucano Arm have just got such a solid, stable partnership, such a good defensive partnership.
Harlequin's good then. Are we saying Harlequin's
good?
Very
good.
Bristol bad, Quinn's very, very good.
Yeah. And the Premiership's so competitive as well. I mean, I've been a bit harsh on Bristol. The Premiership's so competitive, it will punish you if you are 5% off. And if you're like Bristol at the moment and you're 15, 20% off, good night.
So, the other games?
Sale played Gloucester?
Yeah, Gloucester. I was expecting a Sale win. Gloucester, much better than I was expecting.
LRZ.
LRZ's
match winner.
Ridiculous.
So the only game I got wrong this week was the last game of the week.
So you called Gloucester to win it?
I did.
Oh, once you saw the teams?
Yeah, once I saw the teams.
What's going on with the selection at Sale?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting question, isn't it? What is going on? The answer is I don't know. The official word is it's rotation. And I get you want to go deep into your squad, and I get that's what Saracens used to do. And if you mention Saracens, I'm sure no people will not be too appreciative, because what Sale are doing is not a replica of Saracens, but if you want to, you know, have an idea of where the ship might be heading, possibly look at what they did in the past. I don't know. I don't think that Sale are yet good enough to earn the right to rotate, is what I think. I think the first 15 is good. I think maybe, you know, there's a lot of players that could come into the first 15 who are also good and can continue to win games. And I also understand that there's unavailabilities. But I don't think it's right to say, I mean, you can't rotate to the point that, you know, you're on your third fly half and then your fourth fly half and your third scrum half and then your fourth scrum half. Because that's how, well, actually, Rafi's probably the backup now.
And you've got, your centre partnership is different to what it's been in the other games, and not just different, it looks nothing like the centre partnership. Rohan Jansi van Rensburg and Manu Tuilagi is a totally fundamentally different centre partnership than Luke James and Sam James.
Completely different.
Like polar opposites.
Now, and when you think about the fullback shirt has been worn by how many different people at Sale in the last 6 months?
There's some real questions, I think, particularly at fullback. Now, the counter to all this is Sale lost with a lot of rotated players away.
And it's close to Gloucester's first choice.
And scored 32 points.
Full first choice team.
Yeah, it's like the game last week when they lost to Exeter. There's a lot of people rotated in. And I don't like the losing. I don't think they should be rotating in the Premiership. But ultimately, at the end of this, I think they're going to have a load of battle-hardened guys, and they're going to know exactly what they've got throughout the squad. And the problem with most squads is you have no idea how good your fourth-choice fly-half is. You just don't know until you absolutely have to use him. Well, they've used him now, and the rest of that squad will come back in. So it is... What was that then? You see? See a flash?
Yeah, I saw a flash.
Oh, well, let's...
there's a poltergeist in the dungeon.
Let's not worry about it. Yeah, I don't think they've earned the right to rotate. I don't think they're quite good enough to do that yet, and that's why they lost.
But, again, Gloucester went out and won the game.
Yeah, and I thought Gloucester would do this, because you look at that team, and man for man, I thought, the backs are better, they've got enough ball-carrying threat to keep Sale honest, despite Sale's defence.
Yeah.
And Gloucester are a team who lose when they're playing well. They're hard, they're not like Bristol, right? So when you see Bristol lose, they've usually just given up. They just, can't be bothered. I think Skivington's got his team playing, so first and foremost, they're hard-working. So you know you don't get much out of them. So when they've got their full team out, not only will they be competitive, you know that those players will play up to their capability.
Although I will say it looked like their fitness was struggling, because if that game had gone on for an extra 5 minutes,
yeah,
Sale were winning that.
Sale could have won it. It was a couple of missed kicks.
Can I just tell you something about Tom Curtis?
Yeah.
So Tom Curtis is... I would have thought maybe a year ago Tom Curtis was the third choice Sale fly half, right? If you exclude Sam James. I've heard one of the academy coaches say that he's never seen him miss a kick, which is probably the cruelest thing which I can think of when he misses that last second conversion. But yeah, apparently he's a phenomenal goal kicker, to the point that very few people have seen him miss. Well, we all have now, but
yeah,
that's such a shame.
He missed the last two, didn't he?
Did he miss two?
The Gus Waugh try on 79 minutes, and then in the 83rd minute, the Tommy Taylor crash over. He missed that.
Yeah, well, don't judge him by that, because he is a much better player.
And they were difficult kicks in very high-pressure situation to win the game.
Yeah, well, Sale know exactly what they've got, and I think the rotations will continue.
Well, it's good to see as well, because at this stage, every single team has had a good win. And
Bath and London Irish have not won.
Bath and London Irish. Oh, London Irish.
Yeah.
London Irish doing Irish things. What? Oh, man, they had that game.
Thing is, though, it's not... Because everyone's beating everyone else, losing right now is not the biggest deal. I don't know.
Not winning is a big deal.
Yeah. If your aspirations are top four, you can probably get away with, like, Sale's record at the moment. It's not a disaster, because lots of people around you have lost. It is a bit of a disaster for Irish, I've got to say. It's not good. It's not good at all.
No.
They're just badly coached. There's no other word for it.
Pack of the year. Pack of the year 2013.
2013, yeah.
Yeah.
They're only good when their players sort of sort out themselves and they just go wild.
Well, George Ford did that again for Leicester. Just when the moment needed it, he just put his very calm...
George Ford head on.
Meticulous George Ford head on and went, I've got this, boys, and took him home.
Three penalties in the last 20 minutes
from
Irish errors. And that's all that does it. Yeah. But it's not... It's Leicester grinding out ugly wins when they're not playing particularly well, but they are grinding them out.
Is that four from four?
Four from four.
Four from four. I mean,
they're top of the table, but they've only got two try bonus points out of the four.
They
games.
Will get better. They're not as good as that table suggests.
Irish,
Leicester.
Yeah, I mean Irish.
Irish
bad.
Aren't as bad as the table suggests.
No, far from it. I mean, yes, the Worcester loss was an absolute shocker. They've had a draw against a team with top four aspirations. I think last week they were in like a couple of points, were they not? I'm sure it was a much tighter game than
and then
this one. Like they're not far away.
They could have won this game on a different day. Yeah.
They've got good players. They just need to get a bit more organised.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
And as for Leicester, I can't say enough good things about Steve Borthwick.
Again, so there are several clubs we've talked about a bunch of them, and Irish would be one where you could imagine there might end up being a high turnover of players at the end of this season, because they've got lots of big name players, slightly older, from abroad. So briefly, what's going on? Can you summarise succinctly what's going on that means that? Because Rob Baxter's piped up about the agents thing and says a solution will be found, but at the moment, agents are not coming to Premiership clubs going, I've got these players.
Yeah, okay, so this is what's happened.
So, summarise what is going on.
Premiership clubs currently pay the fees of the agent. So if you are £100,000 worth of player and you pay your agency fees at 5%, the £5,000 that you pay comes direct from the club to the agent and you receive 95k. Take home pay,
and that comes out of the salary cap.
That comes out of the salary cap, yeah. So it's not a freebie. Now they operated what was called the 50-50 rule, and that's come from football. It's not a rugby thing; it's a football thing. Because when in doubt, rugby clubs do one thing, and that's copy football. Mm-hmm. And football pay football would make the players pay half the agency fee, and they would pay the other half. And even if they paid the whole agency fee, it would be booked in as a benefit in kind. Does that make sense? Now, the reason for that is they thought the agent would have to scour the planet, which is true in football, like go to France, Italy, Spain, wherever, to get a player. So they said, well, we'll pay half, you pay half. HMRC said, no, you can't do that. You've got the player's got to pay all the agency fees. You still good?
Yeah.
And that's what Premiership Rugby have said. They've said, well, because the 50... Because HMRC have said the player has to pay all the fees, the player now has to pay all the fees. But here's the thing which they've not been completely truthful on, which is the club could still pay the agent, but then it gets booked as a benefit in kind to the player. Does that make sense?
Benefit in kind for tax per HMRC purposes.
It would go on the income, even if the player didn't get the actual money, we get taxed on that amount.
Yeah, like your company car or your health insurance or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So that's the situation they find themselves in. So why is this controversial? I think most of the reason it's controversial is because agents don't like the idea of having to harass their players
to get the money.
Yeah, for 1/12 of their 5% every month on a direct debit. And I can understand that. I can actually understand. You know, dealing with players is like herding cats. So I can get that. The other reason it's a bit controversial is because it looks like Premiership Rugby are trying to screw the players, when actually that isn't the case. They're just saying you've got to pay your agents. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't think agents like it because, you know, if I have to pay 5% myself, I might look into exactly what they're doing for me. What is the service? It's a lot of money. So they're
The upshot is, as it currently stands, agents are not picking up the phone to Premiership clubs.
Right. Well, agents can only do this for... I mean, it's kind of like a hunger strike, isn't it? You can only do this for a certain amount of time before it becomes ineffective because you're dead. Now, with agents...
Well, certainly it'll be the case where the players will go, hold on, I'm
paying you.
You're representing me and you're cutting off a huge potential avenue. Because Dwayne Vermaelen could have gone to a Premiership club, and this is the reason he hasn't.
Now, this is the most stupid thing the agents have said, right? So they've said, well, we had Dwayne Vermaelen and we decided to send him to Ulster because they pay us better. Well, who do you work for? And this is exactly the point the Premiership clubs are making. When you pay the agents, you'll make sure that they're doing a good job. The agents have literally just proven the point. Agents do loads of good things, by the way. And I'm not just saying that. They really do. Like, they know the internal workings of the clubs. I'm not anti-agent at all. You know, they've got to hawk their players around, you know, it could be France or Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of good stuff that agents do. But this example they've given of Dwayne Vermaelen, it undoes all of the good things that they do. They should have come with the value that they bring to players.
And it sounds like, actually, players need to get a bit savvier and remember, treat the agents like the service that they are. If an agent is not picking up the phone and talking to as many potential suitors as possible, fire them and get another agent.
The only reason, or I think the main reason agents are not wanting this to happen, is because they are a little unsure about the service that they offer. They're a little unsure that they are providing the value that they think they are. And I think many of them are, but they need to learn to communicate it better. And the first agent that says, actually, this is awesome, because now you can see what you pay me, and you can see what the services that I provide. Here is a list of beneficial services. They're going to make a killing. The first agents will realise that this is in their favour, because if you give a better product, you might earn less per person, but you'll earn more overall. Mm.
It's that thing you've talked about, the best way to the best and most efficient and most productive way to spend money is spending your money on yourself.
Yes, exactly right. This is a disaster for bad agents. It's an absolute godsend for good agents.
And therefore, potentially for players.
Yeah, exactly. But the stupidity of the Dwayne Vermaelen example.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Dwayne's
Phil's
delighted.
Delighted about it.
Phil's delighted. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Not available until Christmas, basically. But
400 grand not to be available till
it'll be
Christmas.
That's the European Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I might be working that game in Belfast at the moment.
That would be nice.
That's exciting.
What date is that?
17th of December, I want to say, Friday night.
Ooh, nice.
That will be a nice game.
Nice.
Yeah. There's something else I want to say about agents, but it's escaped me.
Sorry. So,
I'll leave it.
Come back to it later.
Yeah,
fine.
It's my new point.
Did either of you see the Saracens game? Saracens Newcastle.
I saw highlights.
Yeah, interesting game.
Newcastle started. I thought it was good. Well, it was kind of like the Bristol Queens game to a lesser degree.
Yeah, it was
far lesser degree.
Lesser degree, obviously the Maitland yellow card, yeah. Which I think can't remember who was reffing it, but I thought they handled that really well. I thought the force was right. It could actually have been a red card, but there was mitigation because he ducked into it, clocks an arm to the face, dealt with perfectly, efficiently, decision communicated well.
Mm.
And over that 10-minute period, Newcastle scored those two tries, and those two tries, the Mike Brown try, Mako Vanapola just switches off.
I've not seen these tries.
Have you not seen it?
No, I've only seen the Tim Swinson not try.
Yeah. The Max Malins.
Yeah.
That Max Malins bit of skill was unbelievable. He's looking for the inside pass to the left, and just the fingertips to, like, just push the ball with his fingertips is incredible.
I was watching it with a friend of mine. I can't remember which one it was. Either Michael Ainsworth or it was Simon. And as Swinners went over, obviously I got very, very excited.
Swinners!
I said, can you believe he was gonna retire 2 years ago? And look at him scoring tries. And then the replay showed him drop it. I was like, yeah, he should have retired two years ago.
That from Sean Robinson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was an incredible tackle.
Yes, it really was.
Scoop him and roll him.
But on a serious note, like, what was he thinking of retiring?
I don't know.
He's obviously very, very good still.
Yeah, still good. And Saracens is the perfect team because he's got a huge amount of experience and they just fit him into the system.
Yeah.
But the Saracens system failed twice for the Stevenson try. Don Morris just fell off a tackle and he goes in from 20 yards.
Mm.
The Mike Brown try, what on earth?
I did see the Don Morris one, sorry, yeah. I did see that.
Yeah, Don Morris missed tackle.
So I thought he won't be playing for a long, long time after this.
Yeah, well, the Mike Brown one is just odd. Mike Brown, it's a ruck 5 metres out from the try line near the posts, and Mike Brown runs this telegraphed unders line, and Mako Vanapola just drifts out and leaves an enormous gap. And Mike Brown is just, he's all in red, he starts his run really early. Everyone on the Saracens defensive line should have seen him and absolutely nailed him, and he just flops over the line because no one bothers. But they
criminal.
They got their act together after that, Saracens did, and they got, importantly, bonus point try with Billy Vanapola on 82 minutes.
He's really good. He's been playing really well.
They've not even got Morrow back yet.
I know.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Morrow and Elliot Daly is injured.
Oh, hang on. Black and red. Is black and red a kit clash?
I don't think...
Is this genuine?
I don't think so.
Yes.
It is. So Premier League did it, I think, last year.
Right, so, yeah, sorry. I'm jumping in ahead. So there was a story this week that JB put in a WhatsApp group that red and green is going to be... They're going to stop having teams play where one is in red and one is in green.
That's correct, yeah. That's correct. Because it's a colour clash for people who are colour blind.
Yes.
I mean... Okay. I don't doubt it is. I don't doubt it's serious for those people, but I'm not willing to change the game for them. So I think that's basically where I sit. Look, I'm heavily dyslexic, right? And quite often I can't read the names of players. In fact, quite often I say to Phil, read that name, right? It doesn't mean that I'm allowed to have the phonetic spellings of Fijian names underneath their actual name just so I can enjoy the game better. It also doesn't mean that I should want every player to have an anglicised name so I can understand the game better. I think it's one of those things that it affects a very small percentage of people. I just don't think we should be changing. I mean, by the logic of green clashing with red, how does any team in red play on a green pitch?
So, quite feasibly, in the not-too-distant future, Ireland and Wales will never play in their home jerseys against each other again, ever.
So what I thought, right, was that I thought when they said colour clash, it'd be that horrific game that Scotland and the All Blacks played when they just looked the same. That, to me, is a colour clash. But now it's like some colours on the spectrum are very hard for certain people to see.
And that's why when, let's say, when Wales play Ireland, quite often what will happen is they'll have different coloured shorts and socks.
Yeah.
That happens anyway.
Yes.
Where one team might have white socks and the other team have coloured socks and white shorts and dark shorts or whatever. I'm with you. I don't like making such allowances for such tiny, tiny, tiny numbers of people who, as far as I'm aware, aren't making a big song and dance about this issue.
Well, allegedly, I've heard it's come from World Rugby, and it's championed by Bill Beaumont himself. Of all, And there's
does this affect him?
Maybe. I think that's certainly what I've the implication that I've got reading between the lines. The problem is right with rugby, and pretty much more all of society, particularly sport at the moment. Like, there's such a song and dance about so many things, it's very hard to decipher what is serious and what's not. So I feel like I might be falling into a trap here of actually downplaying the seriousness of this, because so many other things in the past have been so stupid that, you know, maybe it's more serious than I think. But my initial thought is, don't change it.
Yeah.
Phil?
Yeah. I don't know. I do have a friend who I used to play rugby with, who's a Notts Forest fan, who is colourblind, and he does, like, when he watches a lot of football, very little rugby, but he does, like, if you're watching a game with him, he will often have to say, which team's attacking which way?
Yeah.
Like, that's the extent of it. No. Like, once he knows, for the remainder of the 45-minute half, he knows. It's not a...
Because
it's not that big. I might be downplaying the seriousness of this, but
no, I've got a mate who is, and when we play snooker, he quite enough to say which one's the brown,
because
he can tell the red from the brown.
Yeah, there you go. Well, there was one more thing I was going to say on that. I'll give you an example of what I was talking about before. This player of the match thing. See, Andy Goode getting absolutely hammered. Why can't I be man of the match? You know, everyone's going, you're gammon, and whatnot. Classic culture war stuff. But that's the sort of thing. I mean, there's so many things, so many trivial things in rugby, like the player of the match award now, that you sort of lose sight because they're so fast and loose with, you know, what is acceptable or what is inclusive or whatnot. You kind of lose sight of what might be important. So I've gone from initial thought, will not change it. If you come back to me with some further good evidence, I will listen.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I'll go.
Yeah. And I don't actually know, I don't know what percent of people this affects.
I think it's 12%, you know.
12% seems high.
I've heard it's about 12%, but that's a spectrum, right?
Yeah, so
it's like 50% of dyslexics, but most of them are not dyslexic.
I'm colourblind enough that I couldn't have been a pilot.
Yeah.
But I'm not colourblind enough that I can't tell the difference between that Benetton jersey and that British and Irish Lions jersey that are behind you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm saying. So, like, you'd be on 10% spectrum. It's like dyslexics. Apparently, we used to be a fairly exclusive club, but it seems everyone wants to be dyslexic now. But, yeah, varying degrees of severity, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, so people who it would cause a significant issue to, is that 12% or is that 1%?
Yeah,
or is that
0.1%
or is it 0.001%?
Is it 1% of the 10%? I don't know.
Yeah.
To anyone who actually does have an issue and a drum they want to bang, like you say, I'm open to listening, but I would say to any of those people, whether it's a logo of a club, whether certain groups of people should be able to play with other certain groups of people, the colours of kits, whatever this may be, before you start banging that drum, why don't you just look in the mirror and make sure you've got yourself sorted.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned this, Tim.
And then, try and change the world. Once you've sorted yourself out, change the world. Because there seems to be
I don't like what you're saying, Tim. And I'll tell you why. It goes back to cheap psychological tricks. This trick was played on me plenty of times at Broughton Park. We used to have a coach, and every time I had something to say about rugby, anything to say about rugby, I was like, hey, what about scrums? What about the lineouts? I go up to him with a beer and go, yeah, the lineouts, can we do X, Y, Z? And he turned around to me and go, are you the fittest that you could be? No. Did you do everything that you could do today to make the team win? Well, nearly. But could you have done better? And it's such an open trap. And I always said, yeah, well, you sort that out. And once you're there, you can come back and talk. And I took that every time. So one day, I was with a player, my second row partner at the time, goes, don't answer that question. Don't allow him to ask a question to your question. That's why I don't like it.
No, I hear what you're saying, but to come back at it, when you said that this has come from Bill Beaumont, that made me go, okay, well...
Everything else first.
There's that, for sure. But I also went, okay, well, let me look into this, because he's Bill Beaumont, and he's a man of serious substance, and... a high-functioning individual who's achieved an incredible amount.
He has.
And if he's banging that drum, actually, he's probably earned the right for me to listen to him. When you run a blog, don't play rugby, why should I listen to what you say?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah, yeah, that works. That works for me. just fine.
There was a game today.
Yes, there was a good one.
Oh.
Anyway, I do love watching Wasps.
In brackets,
at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love watching Saints, and I love watching them for the first 15 minutes or so today, and then not much after that first 15 minutes.
They were terrible second half.
They were awful, yeah. And they were...
lazy.
They were inconsistent, and they were giving away so many penalties. I think they gave away 5 or 6 penalties in the last 20 minutes, and that's what did it. That's what gave Wasps enough to win the game.
The heads went down, and from scrummaging, actually. About second or third scrum in the second half, the Saints scrum gets battered. And then every time they have the ball, they don't get to breakdowns quick enough. And I tell you what Wasps do so well, is they just bring energy to a situation. And if they can keep their energy levels up, they're all over your breakdown. Mm. You know, so some might say that they like to swarm. but that's exactly what they do. They're really, really aggressive. Here's my theory on Wasps. They are good because nobody knows anything about their players. They get in the championship, and like I still don't know who half. I mean, I know who they are. I know their names, but they just seem to appear and be really good.
Sam Spink
would be one.
Spinky.
What's his name? Hislop
the prop. That's another one. Doncaster, and now he's just ruining Northampton's scrum. So you know, Northampton's got plenty of names, and we know that they're a good team. Bourgeois. I know he's been around for a long time, but you don't really think of him as good as he is.
He's really good today.
He's class. Yeah, absolutely. Class.
Well, he's keeping little Jimmy on the bench, and he did so most of last season.
The only one you go, yeah, that's a really world-class player there, would be Robson.
Robson is
and
class.
Obviously, Fifita looks like he's decent.
Fifita is a very good player.
You know, Tom Cruise came from bloody Wilmslow, and then Macclesfield.
Yeah.
You know?
Lee Blackett took him from Macclesfield to Rotherham.
Yes.
And then from Rotherham to Wasps. Yeah. I'd play for Lee Blackett.
I would as well. I'd love to. If I did, I'd probably be really good because that's what he does.
I'm sure he is a taskmaster. I think you have to be at that level, but he just seems. I don't know. You just get the vibe that they absolutely love him.
Yeah.
The players play for him.
He obviously makes really good personnel decisions and selection decisions because it took a lot of courage to go with Umanga back in the day.
Mm.
He got them to a Premiership title basically playing kids.
Premiership final.
What did I say?
Title.
Sorry, final. Yeah. Final. Yeah. It's really impressive. And every year, they get rid of people. You think, oh, that's going to be hard to replace. And they just replace them.
Mm.
Just some more guys show up.
Yeah.
And they're missing, let's not forget, they're missing some of the most important players. Tom Willis, my goodness me, he's stepping up this season.
Yeah, massively.
Tom Willis has been brilliant. His brother's meant to be quite good, you know.
His brother's all right. When his brother gets back, he might be all right. And Joe Launchbury...
Where is he? Is he just injured?
Fekitoa.
Fekitoa, yeah. Who's out for a while, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, they seem to know where to spend their money. They don't spend as much of it as other people, and they know where to get additional talent from. And when they turn it on, it looks brilliant. Like that Shields to Robson try today was outstanding.
I tell you who's doing some good things. I So I obviously know him because he was a Crusader. Not Crusader, Hurricane even.
Yep.
Tumaga Allen.
Yes.
Who I think he's come on. So I think he struggled massively. He's a big boy, but I think he struggled massively with Northern Hemisphere scrumming.
Agreed.
For his first 2 years, probably. Or 18 months, whatever it was. I think he's looking great now.
So here's something which blew my mind. Apparently, Tumaga Allen played every single Premiership game last year.
Really?
Well, I mean, only the ones that Wasps played. But
including the one where he scored, he did some outrageous breaks.
Yeah.
And scored some awesome tries.
So I was talking to someone about him, and he's a big money signing. He's on, you know, he's on a good whack. And you're right, a few years ago, he was basically languishing in the A team.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's a big bloke, but I just don't think he got scrummaging as much as he needed to in the Premiership.
Yeah.
It is obviously different to Super Rugby. But yeah, he's looking great, and he's pretty mobile. He's got some good skills. He's been winning quite a lot of turnovers.
So what's battered Northampton's day with a guy who doesn't know how to scrummage,
yeah,
a lad from Macclesfield, and some recruit from Rotherham?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Basically.
And you wonder why people don't expect them to win. But they do.
But they do.
They do.
Yeah.
Like, I tell you another one who I really like is Tim Cardhill. I love how he plays. I think he's a very good player. Anyway, mm-hmm. We can talk about Wasps for a long, long time. Well done, Wasps. Great
well win. Done, Wasps. I think Northampton losing Matt Proctor early on.
Yeah, he's
one of those. Because Northampton, for whatever reason, their backline was playing really flat. And bigger through an intercept to Via Fifita at one point. And they never seemed to correct it. But when Matt Proctor was on the park, he gave them an out when they were too flat in the back line, because he will make yards through heavy traffic or round the outside. He was almost getting them out of not having the right structure in place and playing too flat. As soon as he went off, they weren't able to get out of being too flat, and they just looked sluggish
and put my finger
staccato.
Yeah, I can't quite put my finger on why Northampton were not good today. I mean, it looks to me like the basics were missing. The urgency to the breakdown would be the biggest one. When they're on form, when they're on fire, that back line is absolutely exceptional. It's probably the best back line without a heavy international presence. Because even when you get rid of Dan Bigger, they can still play some really nice stuff.
Yeah. And Grayson has been good up to this point when he's been playing.
We've had some correspondence through the week.
Yes, we have.
And you can get in touch with us, contacteggchasers@gmail.com. I just saw this one from Philip Atkinson, who's contacted us today.
Is this?
In the last hour. Philip Atkinson, I don't know, maybe he'll explain this, but he said he's currently in France on holiday.
Oh, yes, I've read this one.
And went to a new rugby venue for him, the La Défense Arena.
Oh, exciting.
He said he previously went to the Yves de Manoir before they moved to their new facility. Yeah, that old stadium was dreadful.
And was it?
It was really bad. Anyway, he went in, okay, and €15 he went to La Défense Arena for.
Wow. Reasonable.
£13. Racing played Perpignan. He was just full of praise for the whole event and the stadium. Great to hear. And also said, as well as seeing Finn Russell, he saw the awesome named. And I didn't know he was playing in France now. Perpignan have the Puma International Geronimo de la Fuente.
Oh, do they?
Nice.
Yeah.
That is nice.
And also in the name stakes, there was Perpignan Samoan International, Pele Pele Genesis Mamea Lamalu.
Yeah. This is my version of colorblindness now. I couldn't deal with that.
God, only a narrow win for Racing 92.
Yeah,
17-14.
Yeah. I suspect if I watched more French league, I would absolutely love it, but I just don't have the mental capacity or time to do so.
I know. We should because there is always we've just finished. There's always the 8:05 kickoff on a Friday night. We should get the TV set up down there.
Yeah, we should do, actually.
So we can put that on. And it's always a big game. This weekend was Stade versus Clermont, 22-14.
I always
like 14 win for Stade.
I used to like the 5:00 Sunday Premiership kickoff. That was always a good one.
Yeah.
Have a bit of.
I hated working those games.
Yeah.
Yeah. European.
Oh no, sorry, not rugby.
Oh right.
Premier League.
Oh,
but I
yes.
do like the Sunday in the Europeans too.
Heineken Cup has Sunday 5:00,
yeah.
which it's great for the viewers when you're working in Exeter, and it's 5:00 on a Sunday night. You're like,
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? But they fly back to it, don't they, Tim?
Well, not anymore. Flybe no longer do the Exeter to Manchester route.
How annoying. How annoying.
Flybe no longer exists.
You've got your G6, haven't you?
Yeah. Or your Gulfstream.
Yeah.
Oh, so I know what you've been watching on YouTube this week, Tim. This could be a new feature. You've been watching Virgin Radio videos of people on your station. Yes, you have, because my algorithm's changed.
Yes, and I've also been watching videos of people restoring Red Wing boots, old Red Wing boots.
So I would have fallen for that being mine.
That was me. Yeah. That was me.
Yeah.
Got a pair of Red Wing boots, and I just find it very cathartic watching guys who know about leather and stuff. Just
you've not heard about my shoes, no?
Renovating shoes.
You heard about the shoes that I found.
Found on the street, on the road. Yeah. You showed them to me. Got an email here from Dark Lupin. Let's see what the actual proper name is.
Just on your shoes, a few years ago, a friend of ours had an old pair of boots that were in terrible condition, and JB polished one of them to a beautiful shine and left the other one in its horrible old condition.
Yeah, I thought
because he knew that the lad was too lazy to polish it himself.
One had like a mirror shine toe, and the other one looked like someone died in it and then just handed them back. It took me 2 hours to get that.
So this is one of our Australian listeners.
Oh, wonderful.
Who says, you might be both interested and somewhat angry when you hear about our current rugby streaming options in Australia. He's been close to sending an email following various topics and podcasts, but after hearing about the terrible, fragmented and costly options available to you, I felt compelled.
Mm.
So he remembers us commenting on Fox Sports losing the broadcasting rights and Super Rugby being on Stan.
Mm.
Well, he says Stan Sport calls itself the home of rugby and is delivering, and the content that they get for their access and the price that they pay, all games stream live and then followed by replays in three formats, full replay, mini version, which is about 25 minutes, and highlights of 5 to 8 minutes.
Which is what BT Sport do that very well, actually.
They do that. BT Sport do that very well.
Yeah.
They sometimes include man of the match interviewed, player of the match, please. Come on.
Star of the match for Heineken Cup.
Yeah.
But no, they do that of Premiership games, I mean. In Australia, they do that of all Premiership, English Premiership games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the footage exists, so why not?
Yeah. So I'm just looking at this list of everything that's available. So all Super Rugby matches, all English Premiership matches, all Six Nations, Rugby Championships / Bledisloe,
yep.
All Pro 14 Rainbow Cup,
yep.
All of it.
UFC.
This is what Australian subscribers to Stan get. They get all rugby.
No wonder they're going off rugby.
The Japanese Top League, all Lions matches, all the New Zealand provincial matches, all the Sevens games, all the Women's Super Rugby, and pretty much all internationals.
Hang on a minute.
The only thing there is not said is the top 14, I think.
And they, how much do you think they pay for that? All rugby. They also get Champions League.
40 quid a month.
$10 Australian per month.
Now, does that tell me that there's no market for rugby, or there's a huge market for rugby?
No. Sorry. He says, so 10 to 14 a month for the so in total, $24 Australian a month, and he watches every Premiership match. He can choose which ones to watch in full, which ones to watch as mini replays, along with all other sport movies and TV series. It pains me to say that over the last few years, the quality of the Premiership has surpassed Super Rugby. I expect you might want to look into getting a VPN service and a Stan account. No.
You pay your BT Sports subscription.
Pay your BT Sports subscription, absolutely.
Someone's got to keep Tim in the style that he's accustomed.
It's about 12 quid.
Yeah.
What?
For all that, yeah.
Not bad, is it? Not bad.
That is very handy.
Rugby's a strange one, because I don't think you can actually tell much about a game through the highlights. It's nice to be able to watch. You actually have to watch the whole game to understand what happened.
Well, Finn on that topic has got in touch and said, following your conversation about the highlights packages, what can we do about getting them to stop putting together a 4-minute video highlights that mainly consist of players converting penalties?
That drives me. That does drive me wild, because you don't get anything. There is, on some of them, it will be 20 seconds six times over of just a kicker stood there looking at the sticks, you don't get any feel for the game at all.
Yeah, if you follow the logic, you say, okay, that's a big moment, because you'd probably be better off doing like a 3-minute package of obviously the tries, because they're important, and maybe through 30 seconds to a minute of someone like Flatman or Austin Healey explaining something in the breakdown or something which you know then makes a big difference.
Well, that actually makes a big difference. More important than seeing the ball sail over the sticks is what was the penalty that caused it? What was the offence?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it hands in the ruck? Is it not rolling away? Is it a high shot? Like you'll learn more about the game from where the compound errors are that are causing the 3 points than just seeing a ball sail over the sticks.
When I'm watching on replay, I just fast forward through the kick and see if the points have appeared.
Yeah, you don't...
I've got a couple of years on YouTube. Do you remember Rugby Special?
Not really. No. I was probably not even into rugby then.
No. When was it?
My first rugby watching experience, as in the show, was the Rugby Club on Sky.
On a Thursday night.
Yeah.
I used to come back from rugby practice. Brilliant. Come back from rugby practice on a Thursday night. Watch Rugby Club.
Superb show.
It was great.
I never spoke about this before, but they used to introduce segments that never came back. So they had a segment called The Dark Arts, and it was Dewey telling Stuart about scrimmaging, and we never saw it again. That was it, The Dark Arts. He went through all The Dark Arts in one episode.
You must have watched that, Phil, because you would have occasionally seen yourself on it, because they did a championship section.
Later, though, times would have been different. But yeah, I'd watched some when I was playing in, that's like 2006 to... 2015.
Yeah, so they did. Yeah, they did championship section, and Oral went to the championship at the time. Two lads from Colne Bay made it into the Oral team. Gaz Wynn and Patrick Leach, who then played for Dragons.
Gaz Wynn, I played with him.
Oh yeah,
Manchester.
Of course.
And
yeah.
Pat Leach went to Manchester as well.
Yeah, they both did.
Yeah.
Mm. And I would watch the whole thing just for that one clip, that 2 second clip of Oral. I'd desperately try and see if I could see him, but I couldn't, because that was a big deal then.
But I used to love Rugby Special on a Sunday night. And I'd be devastated. And it was the times when you could never tell whether it was going to be on or not. It was on most Sundays, but not all Sundays. And that Sunday night at 6 o'clock when Ski Sunday finished and Rugby Special didn't come on, absolutely crushed.
Yeah. There was no rhyme or reason to it, was there? No. There's no heads up or TV guide.
Not happening this week.
Occasionally you tune in and you get to be like, today it was Leicester versus Bath. Oh, get in.
Yeah.
Settle in for this one.
Do you know why Miami Dolphins are big in the UK, by the way?
Ace Ventura.
Huh?
Ace Ventura.
So American football became big in the UK in the 80s, and it was on Channel 4.
Yeah.
Was it just that they were the best team Dan Marino.
Well, you said randomly, you get Bath Leicester, and that was great. Well, apparently, the reason the Miami Dolphins are so well-supported in the UK... it's because the time differences meant when Channel 4 showed the live game, the best one they could find would be the Miami Dolphins.
Ah.
And then they also had Dan Marino and the kits look cool and so on and so forth.
And Ace Ventura.
And Ace Ventura. The 90s. Yeah, exactly. It's more Ace Ventura.
The teams that were really popular in the 80s, American football, when I picked the Jets because I liked the kit, stupidly, and we lost again this week, back to losing, was everyone was into Washington Redskins.
Wow, so what era is this?
This is like 80s, when it was on Channel 4. Late 80s, when it was on Channel 4. It was Washington Redskins, Miami Dolphins.
Dallas Cowboys?
Dallas Cowboys.
Troy Aikman's Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, John Elway, Broncos.
Who was the quarterback for the Redskins?
I don't remember, but the Fridge was playing at Chicago. Chicago Bears.
Who was it? It was some guy.
Perry.
Who got his leg broken by LT. And I can't remember who it was.
Oh, which changed the whole game. Like the Blindside movie starts with that, doesn't it?
Does it? Oh, yeah, but yeah, because you got to protect your
blindside. He broke his leg, you got to protect your blindside.
Yeah, it does. Who was the...
I can't remember.
I want to say Sims, but Sims was the...
And it was, because there was Dan Marino with the Dolphins, and it was, what's his name, with the San Francisco 49ers.
Montana,
and there was Elway with the Broncos, Aikman with the Cowboys. That was when it became popular in the UK.
And little did they know, they were just keeping the throne warm for Tom Brady. It was better than all of them combined.
All of them. Great.
Before we finish, just speaking about broadcasting, did either of you watch much of Rugby Tonight this evening?
None of it.
No.
So always a good programme, but... One of my favourite things is looking out for misuse of the word literally, and Lawrence Delalio was he was describing, they were going back through some of the best tries in Premiership history.
Okay.
And Tom Wood scored a late winner against Leicester to win in the East Midland Derby.
Was this not the final? The semi-final.
Might have been the semi-final.
The semi-final.
And because it was in Franklin's Gardens.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Delalio described it as, he said, when Tom Wood went over for that try, literally, the stadium lifted up. The four stands lifted off the ground. Literally.
Good God. Good God. That was amazing, that try, though.
That was an amazing try.
And for Tom Wood to score it as well.
Yeah.
One of my favourite ever Premiership tries, I think it was a James Forrester try for Gloucester.
Now, was this the kick through against Bath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that try.
It was a great try. Now, that was actually not a Premiership game, was it? Was that not a European Cup game?
It might have been.
I feel that was a Sunday game.
My favourite Premiership try might be Phil Vickery scoring an unbelievable 40-metre sprint.
Well, they showed one the other day on the Premiership Rugby Twitter account of the James Simpson Daniel try.
Yeah.
Where Ryan Lamb turns... It was Lalio inside out three times. Oh, no, James Simpson Daniel
turns him. Yeah, and it was...
So who scores it?
I can't remember who actually scored a bit. Simpson to Daniel did all of the work.
I know who it was. So it was Lamb. Inside centre was, there should have been England great, Anthony Allen.
Yeah.
So they had those two young lads coming through at the same time, and they were both playing at age 19 for Gloucester first team. That should have been their future. Then they had Simpson Daniel. Was it James Bailey?
Might have been Bailey.
And I can't remember who the other guy. James Bailey scored, I'm sure it was him. It's an incredible try.
Yeah, that was awesome.
My favourite literally was Michael Owen. No. Someone talking about... Hold on. Who were they describing? They might have been talking about... It was Jamie Redknapp talking about Michael Owen and how quick he was back at Liverpool. And he said, Michael Owen was literally a greyhound.
Literally? that is quite good.
My favourite ever was, this is years and years ago, it must be nearly 15 years ago, when one of those stupid, not Britain's Got Talent, but one of those pop star, X Factor talent contests, and they brought in a guest judge, and Simon Cowell, describing bringing in a guest judge, said, sometimes you just got to throw a cat amongst the pigeons. And that's literally what we're doing here.
I'd watch that.
That's better TV than the TV he's actually making.
Massively.
How many cats can you throw at how many groups of pigeons?
Is Ben Foden going to be on some reality show soon? Is he on Dancing on Ice?
Something like that. Almost certainly.
Yeah. I don't know how Hugo got on. Anyone? I was away this weekend. I didn't watch anything.
He survived, didn't he?
Yeah.
Strictly scrum dancing.
Very good. Tim. Very good, excellent. Thank God I hadn't prepared for this segment.
But he had long hair. It kind of suited him.
Did he? What was the style and what was the dress?
Was he wearing
an extremely tight dress?
No, it was
really topless. Oh, well, that's more
topless,
like it.
Topless, yeah.
It was movie night.
Yeah, so
that's why.
Was it Tarzan? I've just seen like a few seconds.
I can imagine Hugo going, "Can I go topless this week? No, just save it. Wait. Yes, you can go topless.
I'm trying to get up the picture now. Anyway, we should really wrap this up.
Yeah, hang on.
There he is. With his long hair.
Oh, good. Oh, nice. Brilliant.
Looking good.
Yeah. Good lad.
Right, are we going to record a Patreon special?
Let's go and do a Patreon special.
What?! A strong performance from centre/prop Jay, who was on loan from Broughton Park. No, I wasn't. I was on loan from Tok H, courtesy of Michael Ainsworth. What on earth? Tok H!
What did Mike Ainsworth have to do?
So Mike Ainsworth used to play at
Huddersfield. Oh, right, so you name-dropped him.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, outstanding. Quickly, fixtures next weekend.
Oh, yes. We have.
Let's have a look.
Have we not missed a game? Exeter hammered Worcester.
Predictable. Exeter doing Exeter things.
I just want to say
Sam Simmons back looking like Sam Simmons.
I did say give Worcester three games to be good, and literally on game four,
you did
absolutely yeah.
And we all said Exeter, don't panic about Exeter, they'll be fine.
Yes.
By the way,
Trust the processes.
Roy Sutherland, Scott Baldwin, Christian Judge. These are not bad players.
Nope.
And then you look through the rest of the team and you understand exactly why they lost.
Stade Français beat Clermont. It's nice having Stade Français back in the top 14 and being good.
It is.
Isn't it?
And I must have missed this, but Lau Mappy is playing for Stade Français.
What?
Mm. They must have some cash as well then.
Love it. Friday night's a tasty game. We've got Ulster against the Lions and the Dragons against the Stormers.
Yeah. So the UFC, the table is already predictable in the fact that everyone's lost a game apart from Munster, Leinster and Ulster.
Righto.
Okay. So, but Say will play Harlequins as well, which is a tasty,
I
tasty
am going to try
match.
And get to this game. I cannot wait for it. The AJ Bill will be absolutely bouncing like it. It will be literally bouncing. and I'm pretty sure Sale will put Harlequins to the sword.
Hmm. AJ McGinty back. The Curry boys back. I'm actually going to go for a home win.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is actually... Yeah, this is going to launch sales season, though.
Hmm. Give me a Quins win.
You're nuts.
But I may well change that when I see
also,
the team
you've got to remember this. Alex Anderson hates Harlequins.
That's true.
Like, he won't say it, but he hates them. Like, during his post-match, he didn't say, they asked him, like, what do you think of the way that Quins played? Don't understand it. Don't understand them as a club. Don't know them as a club. Don't understand them as a club. Never have, never will. And that was it. He hates Harlequins.
Ooh, so everyone's getting rested for this game. That's why he's rotating.
Oh, yeah. I think he wants Harlequins dead.
So, Saturday, Newcastle-Bristol.
Newcastle.
Bristol.
Really? Yeah. Away?
Yeah, Bristol.
Newcastle.
I'm going to say Newcastle at home.
It's a tough place to go. They've got a hard pack.
They have got a hard pack. They've got a hard working pack.
Yeah.
But, plastic pitch. Bears they still do some things well.
They do.
And I just think it suits them. It depends on the team, it depends on the weather.
Wasps v Exeter.
Exeter.
Wasps are at home, are they?
Mm. Yeah.
Huh. Exeter.
Yeah.
Worcester v Leicester.
Leicester. Leicester 5 on the bounce.
Yeah. Leicester 5 on the bounce as well. In the Premiership.
Oh, no.
Any tasty games on the Saturday?
Sunday.
Bath host Saracens.
Bath v Saracens.
Bath are not getting the first win of the season.
I tell you what. Gloucester pick up a win against Irish, and they are looking good, considering we all thought they were going to be terrible.
It's the Skivington Bowl. Yeah. I said this last year, and it happened.
Skivington
Irish,
Bowl.
I said last year when Irish played Gloucester, Irish will be massively up for it, and will be really out to put one over on Skivington, and they won it last year, and I'm going to call the same this year. It's going to be Saracens away win and an Irish home win.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
On both counts.
Yeah, Saracens... Wow, there's some good games next week.
When do Bath pick up their first win? So they lose to Saracens.
I've said week 6 is what I had.
They then lose.
They've got Quins.
They then lose to Harlequins. Then they host Wasps, which
that could be it.
That could be it on the 30th. But if they don't win, then they travel. They travel to Leicester the following week. So they're not winning. They're not winning that.
Problem is, it's autumn internationals. Oh no, Bath won't lose many players actually this time.
They'll lose a few. Yeah, not enormous. But they then travel. Then they host Exeter Chiefs, so they're not winning that. So it might be if they don't beat Wasps at home, it'll be December before they win a game.
And Wasps are exactly the sort of team that will beat Bath. Exactly the sort of team.
They pumped them at the Rec.
Yeah, they really
Remember?
Did.
A doggers. Just tearing them up. Oh, yeah, that's another player that Wasps have got to come back. Duggars.
What's the end game here at Bath? Well, I don't get it. I just don't know. What are they waiting for? They've got the squad to push forward.
They're going to convert the whole club to a management consultancy.
Do you reckon?
That's it. That's the end game.
Yeah, we've packed up the rugby thing, but we're very good at the management consultancy.
There you go. Right. Contact eggchasers@gmail.com, patreon.com/eggchasers. He's at jbeardmore on Twitter. We're at Rugby Podcast. Hit subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Tell your mates. And let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.